hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today and sign the Sanctuaries for Life petition to encourage local, state, and federal officials to protect every innocent human life. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
This is the second Sunday of Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and it is named that because it is right around the time that the Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton decisions were passed down in 1973. Thankfully, those decisions were overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, but abortion still continues. And as we mentioned last week, it's actually increasing. There's actually more abortions that are happening nationwide than were happening before the Roe versus Wade decision was overturned with the Dobbs decision. And even in the state of Florida, where we have restrictions on abortion and we have a six-week abortion ban, as we've mentioned in the past, there are exceptions that allow abortion up through 15 weeks, and that is for rape, children that have been conceived in rape, incest, and also in human trafficking. By the way, those children are still created in the image of God. God doesn't say, hey, every human being is created in the image of God unless this baby is conceived in rape. Then that baby can be actually ripped limb from limb. That baby can be murdered. That baby can be destroyed. No, God says that every innocent human life, every human being is created in His image. And really, there's only a few reasons in the Bible to actually take human life. And we need to actually restore the sanctity of human life. Even in the state of Florida, where that, by the way, that ban also has exceptions for the not only the life, but also the health of the mother. There's never a reason to purposely kill a preborn child to save a mother's life. Sometimes a baby needs to be delivered prematurely, and sometimes that's before we have the technology to save that baby outside the womb. Those days will come. By the way, science is advancing, but there's never a time to actually kill a preborn child in the womb to save a mother's life. But the six-week ban allows abortion all the way until the moment of birth to save the life or health of the mother. And so we're looking at the Bible and also looking at what is going on with abortion in our country today. And when we look, we started talking last week, we actually went over some of the principles, how we are actually created in God's image, how that really this is the reason that God instituted the death penalty, to protect innocent human life, that actually God created the death penalty because every one of us, you and me, were created in God's image. And when someone kills an innocent person, they should actually be put to death. They should be tried. They should be executed upon conviction. We talked about the biblical principles there from the Bible. We also talked about how really that the psalmist said that he was knit and formed in his mother's womb by God Almighty. Jeremiah was called a prophet from his mother's womb. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. When Mary came to visit John's mother, John in Elizabeth's womb, that's John the Baptist's mother, and Jesus, little baby Jesus, little tiny embryo, maybe even prior to an embryonic state, inside of Mary's womb, and what you see is that John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit at that point. Very likely John the Baptist was as well. The Bible doesn't specifically say, but it does specifically say that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. So it's very likely that he was filled with the Holy Spirit at that point. Elizabeth calls Jesus her Lord in his mother's womb, in Mary's womb, right then, that he was her Lord. And we see that Jesus, the Savior, was called in Isaiah, the Savior was called from his mother's womb. Also, the Apostle Paul was separated for the gospel, to preach the gospel, while he was in his mother's womb, even though he didn't know Jesus early on, even though he persecuted Christians, even though he actually had the authority to arrest Christians and was sitting there and people were casting their coats at his feet when Stephen was martyred, he was certainly in approval of Stephen's martyrdom. He still was called to preach the gospel while he was in his mother's womb. And the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 1 that in due time, when it was God's right time, God called him into his kingdom. We talked and looked at how David was a sinner from conception. And really, this is a principle that you see in the Bible. Because Adam sinned, we all have sinned. We all are sinners from conception, from the point of conception or fertilization. Every single one of us is a sinner. That's why all of us need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And we see more about that sin, really that initial sin that every human being has that is passed on through the seed of the male. You can see more about that in Romans chapter 5. We started looking at the science of life and really the development of human life and how so many people, we hear trust the science, trust the science, trust the science. Well, a lot of times when the science doesn't line up with a certain political view, the same people that say trust the science actually want to ignore the science. When we're talking about whether a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, when we're talking about whether a human being in the womb is still a human, still created in God's image, still needing to be protected, a lot of times we see people wanting to ignore the science. But we started looking at the early development of a preborn child last week, including, and really scientists just recently were able to capture on film the moment of conception, and a flash of light happened, and that flash of light is the power of God empowering that creation of that new human being, a human being that is created in the image of God Almighty. And what we actually look at also, in addition, we talked about fetus. It's just a term that describes a developmental stage. And when we're talking about a human, we're talking about a developmental stage of a human. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. At week 11, the preborn child has fingernails, spontaneous breathing, and movements. All body systems are working at 11 weeks. At 12 weeks, the baby weighs about an ounce. At 16 weeks, The baby has genital organs that are clearly differentiated. The baby can grasp with her hands and swim. The baby kicks, turns, somersaults. Mothers, if you've ever been pregnant, if you're a woman who's ever been pregnant and you have been blessed for that baby to develop in your womb, you probably know about those kicks and those somersaults and those jumps. And sometimes they can hurt and put pressure on your bladder. But this is a time of really development of the preborn child. You also see at 18 weeks, the vocal cords work. The baby can actually cry at 18 weeks. At 20 weeks, the baby weighs about 1 pound. The baby is 12 inches long. She has hair on her head. And really, there are places across this country where children are being 20-week-old babies are being killed by abortion in abortion clinics across this nation. At 23 weeks, there's a 15% chance of viability outside the womb if born premature. At 25 weeks, there's actually a 79% chance of the baby would survive if born prematurely. Personhood, Florida has a former board member, Dr. Lyle, who was an OBGYN who not only delivered babies, but he also operated on babies in their mother's womb. And he talks about how he can go in and actually fix spinal bifida and fix some other things in the mother's womb. And really, in a pregnancy, there are two patients, not just one. There are two patients, and the first patient is the mother, and the second patient is the baby. And really, most people would even flip that around because most mothers would view the preborn child, the ones that actually love their children and want to bring their children to birth, they would view the baby as the primary patient. And certainly the health of the mother is important as well. We talked about how there are 13 states that have a total abortion ban. Florida is not one of them. 28 states that have abortion bans based on a gestational duration, and 9 states and the District of Columbia that do not have restrictions on abortion at all the way up until the moment of birth. And in fact, some of these states it's actually loosened their laws and their restrictions to allow abortion even further than what was possible prior to Roe versus Wade being overturned. We also see, when we look at taxpayer funding of abortion, your tax dollars at work. In 2021 and 2022, Medicaid was the second most common method of payment and was used by 30% of all the people obtaining abortions. Just think about that. In 2020, there was over 930,000 abortions. In 2023, over 1 million abortions. So somewhere in the range of maybe in those 2 years alone, 600,000 babies were killed, and the payment was made by taxpayers of the United States of America. And we know that the One Big Beautiful Bill did defund Planned Parenthood and abortion for 1 year, but Planned Parenthood was quick to challenge that, and really it's still in limbo as to whether they're going to be able to defund that or not. And in the meantime, the money keeps rolling in. Your tax dollars are paying for abortion. Also, if you have insurance, there's a good chance that your insurance policy includes abortion. And actually 17% of abortions are actually paid by insurance companies. And this is really ironic. I guess they don't want to have to pay for the preborn child to be born and actually actually live and grow up and the various health costs that could come about through that. But really, abortion hurts women. Abortion makes it more likely that women will have various complications later in life. And so it's really important when we think about this that we actually look at Scripture, you know, that we actually apply biblical principles. It's important that we actually show mercy to the preborn child and to the mother and to the father, and not putting them through, not allowing them to go through the trauma of knowing that they actually participated in the death of their own preborn child. And also, in addition to that, we also see a lot of other really physical problems that mothers go through because they had an abortion. When we look at abortion providers, in 2023, there were 765 brick-and-mortar abortion clinics or abortion mills that provided abortion services in the United States, a 5% decline from 870 such clinics in 2020. As of March 2024, there were no clinics providing abortions in the 14 states with total abortion bans in effect at that time. These states had 63 abortion mills in 2020. And the remaining 36 states and the District of Columbia, where abortion was not completely banned. In fact, in some of those states, as we've mentioned, it was actually expanded. There were 21 more brick and mortar abortion clinics operating in March 2024 than in 2020, a 3% increase. One of the things that we see happening, though, also is online only or telephone or virtual clinics. And these happen from other states and even from other countries. And the Guttmacher Institute is really estimating, and the numbers that we've talked about on abortion don't include these medical abortions that are coming across state line or coming across even from out of the country. But they are actually estimating that there's actually about another 14% of abortions that are happening this way. Now, the number is probably higher because they're actually only admitting that this is happening in states where it's legal for this to happen. But even in the state of Florida, where it's not legal for this to happen, a woman can call up one of these places or go online and order and actually receive the abortion pill. And in fact, there's no medical examination. There's no verification of how far along she is. This pill is not safe to take ever for the preborn child, but it's not safe to take for the mother. It's actually very dangerous to take for the mother. But especially if she's beyond a certain gestation. And yet what the women are being told, and we've had pro-life people that have called up, women that have pretended to be pregnant and pretended to actually be someone seeking an abortion, and they were told, well, you need to take two doses because you're further along. And so rather than say, well, this is very dangerous, you shouldn't do this, they've actually been told, well, you can take two doses. And in some cases, the places are calling the pills period pills because the same pill could stop a period from happening, but the same chemical could stop a period from happening. But when there's conception that has happened, when there's a preborn child in the mother's womb, what can happen is that pill would actually cut off progesterone to that baby. Progesterone is necessary for the development of that baby. And then there's a second pill. That second pill causes a violent delivery. It forces the woman into labor where she delivers a dead baby in her own toilet. And as we've mentioned, these women are actually seeing their own baby being delivered in their own toilet, and the water washes away the blood. And rather than a blob of tissue or a clump of cells, as Planned Parenthood used to deceive women into thinking that was inside of them, they actually see a very tiny yet perfectly formed human being, a baby that may be only 2 inches in height, but is still perfectly formed, and a baby created in the image of God. And this is something that Planned Parenthood can no longer say it's just a blob of tissue. The women are actually seeing their own dead baby, a human being, in their own toilet. By the way, for anyone that has gone through abortion, whether it's recent or years ago, there are women, there are men that have been involved in abortion that are ashamed of what they have done. They're convicted. They know that what they have done is wrong. Some of them try to act like it was not wrong, but deep down, they know that what they did was wrong. And they know that this was a sin. They know that God doesn't like what they did. In fact, the Bible says that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. But I am here to tell you today that we do serve a God that not only is a God of wrath, not only is he a holy God, not only is he righteous, not only does he require perfect obedience to him, but he also is a loving God. He also is a God of grace and mercy. And he loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to the earth to actually live as a human, to be in Mary's womb, to be at one point a fetus, to be at one point a newborn, to be a little boy that grew up. And even we read in the Bible, even disturbed his parents sometimes, where he was about his father's business in the temple, really challenging and asking questions of the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests. And they marveled at his wisdom at such a young age. And then, of course, at the age of 30, he started his ministry. And then after about 3 years, he was tried and convicted and executed. And that happened so that your sins could be forgiven. He shed his blood. Jesus shed his blood so that your sins can be forgiven. And if you've gone through an abortion, if you have participated in an abortion, if you have encouraged someone to have an abortion, repent of your sins and receive forgiveness for that. And I do want to encourage you also to reach out to a pro-life pregnancy center and seek an abortion recovery class. They do have these for women. They have these for men as well. Men go through hard times, difficult times, because of knowing that they participated in the death of their own child, and mothers do as well. If you have been wondering why you're depressed at a certain time of the year when you knew that baby would be born, if you are wondering why you're depressed when around the time that you had an abortion or encouraged someone else to have an abortion, you need to repent of your sins and accept forgiveness from God Almighty. And again, seek out help for abortion recovery. On Florida's Treasure Coast, there's CareNet that actually does provide help to women and provides this type of counseling. Again, not only to women, but also to men, because, you know, it takes two to tango. When we look at out-of-state abortion travel, you know, there are certain states, New York is one of them, California is one of them, where they say, hey, you know what, we're expanding abortion rights, And if you want to travel to our state to get an abortion, if your state doesn't allow you to have an abortion, we'll actually pay your way to come here so that you can kill your baby in our state. So you actually have abortion tourism. People coming to a state for the purpose not of going to an amusement park or going there for a vacation, but going there to actually kill, pay an abortionist to kill their own preborn child, their own offspring. So we're looking here at the stats and what is happening. Abortion bans and other restrictions imposed or enforced after the Dobbs decision have led to a surge in people traveling from states where abortion is banned or heavily restricted to seek care. Now, care is not there for the preborn child. The care that they are talking about here is the killing of a human being to seek care in other states where abortion is available. More than 169 U.S. abortion patients traveled to other states to obtain an abortion in 2023, representing 16% of all abortions provided in states without bans. Half as many, 81,000, did so in 2020. And so what we're seeing here is that there is an unleashing of death, and we need to actually restore life. Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. And we need to actually work so that we can see the day when the sanctity of human life is restored, when every single human being is recognized and protected by love and by law. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today and sign the Sanctuaries for Life petition to encourage local, state, and federal officials to protect every innocent human life. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Dr. Michael Youssef.
To follow Jesus means that you are willing to abandon yourself to him. To follow Jesus means that you are willing to sacrifice what is near and dear. Sometimes that's your strong opinion. Sometimes that means that you're going to sacrifice your stubborn will that's standing in the way of following Jesus.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word, right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m. and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.